This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family, his companions and his followers until the day of judgment. I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his last and final messenger. One of the surahs that many Muslims, alhamdulillah, care to recite on Friday, Surah Al-Kahf. And there is a hadith been reported recommending Muslims to read and to recite Surah Al-Kahf on the night of Friday, which is Thursday night, or the day of Friday. And there is debate over the authenticity of it, but it is widely accepted and recommended by many of the Muslim scholars. And it's a very well-known surah to many of us. And one of the things that is important for us whenever there is something we've been asked to read or to recite often, to reflect upon them. And today I want to just pick one thing in this surah, which is the don'ts in this surah. Don'ts. La'at, Surah Al-Kahf. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not. Or when this verse, there is something about do not do that or do not do this. You find one of the basically, we'll talk about it, there are nine of them. So the first one you'll see, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَا تُمَارِ فِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, after He telling us how they will argue over how many persons were in the cave. They were four, five, seven, whatever the numbers, you know, and all this debate, four, five, six, seven, okay? And the eighth is their dogs. Which number is correct? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so, O Muhammad, my Lord is most knowing of their number. None knows them except a few. So do not argue about them. Do not argue about them with except with an obvious argument. إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. Except with an obvious argument. Obviously, it's not a bad translation, but also the word mira'an dhahira, it's an obvious argument and also a nice argument. Mira' al-dhahir wal-khafif, al-latif, al-ladhi laysa fi ghilza, that you're not aggressive, you're not mean. So that's what al-mira' al-dhahir means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not argue about this. And this is something that very interesting. That because sometimes we argue over things and we have really no facts, or we don't have facts about it. Nobody knows how many of them exactly are there. So sometimes we get engaged in arguing over things that we have no knowledge of. We have no facts to back up our claim. And we should not be engaged in such argument. Also, this shows you that no need for arguing over something that is not beneficial. Yani, what will make a difference if there were five or six? Six or eight? What will be any the difference to us? The point of the story is still there. Sometimes we get distracted into argument that is not beneficial at all. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing He's saying to us, don't. And even He addressed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it's all of us. Even this is about this particular story, but it can apply to everything in our life. That we need to learn to avoid so many of these arguments, which is waste our time, waste our energy, and drain us, especially in a time of social media, and people engage on back and forth and arguing over, you know, matters many times are not beneficial. Al-jadal bishakil am madhmum fil Qur'an wa sunnah. Generally speaking, arguing is something criticized, something negative, something not been praised in the Quran and the Sunnah. Only arguing are recommended if it is done by right methodology with the right intention. And not only that, وَكَانَتِ الْمَصْلَحَ رَاجِحَةً يعني أن تكون الوسيلة صحيحة في النقاش وأن تكون الغاية صحيحة وأن تكون المصلحة راجحة لأن حتى مع اجتماع حسن النية والوسيلة تكون في مفسدة مضيعة الوقت. So the ulama رحمه الله said that three things that it has to be with the right way of arguing. So I argue with knowledge, not with desires or ignorance, with the right intention, not to just to show off, not to prove you wrong, not to pick on you, not to prove my family or my group or whatever my camp is correct. And also the ulama said third one that there is a greater benefit. Because so many times, even if your intention is good, you want to learn the knowledge. Even if you argue with evidence and stuff like that, but it's a waste of time. There's no benefit. There is much more important things to talk about here. So these three conditions, if you look at it, it will eliminate so many of our arguments. And I believe that this is also great advice for us at home. So many times we engage in argument. I know in certain age, children love to argue. Love to, for the sake of argue. Why? And what is this? What is that? So make sure that if you ever have to go into that argue with them, to teach them, first of all, arguing is not a good thing. And let's make sure that we start from home from early age. Debate has its own rules and situations and manner and limited time, but it cannot transfer our life to be all debating one another at home, and we argue with one another all the time. And if I have to engage in such argument, make sure that you raise your words, not your voice. Because remember, what really makes effects on the ground is the rain, not the thunder. So make sure that you always elevate your argument. You can say whatever you mean, but not in a mean way. You can always make your point without, disrespecting the others. Number two, which is comes right after it, وَلَا تَسْتَفْتِ فِيهِمْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا أَبَدًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala next said, and do not, and that's the second one, inquire about them among the basically from anyone of them. Yani don't ask about the numbers or the knowledge of the people of Al-Kahf, the story of Al-Kahf, from them. Don't seek knowledge from them. Why? Because they have no knowledge. And that's also an important lesson for us in our life. قال العلماء هذا الدليل على عدم جواز استفتاء الجاهل ومن لا علم له. The ulama said that's a proof that you cannot ask and seek fatwa from someone who is ignorant or someone who has no knowledge. It's like, you can't do that. And we know that. But when it comes to religion, when it comes to, unfortunately, many areas of our life, we don't practice what we know. We go ask and seek advice and guidance from people who have no clue what they're talking about. Also, don't ever seek an advice or a judgment or an answer from someone you know that they are biased, that they are filled with hate, they are filled with jealousy. Don't ever seek guidance from someone who follow their desires, because they're not going to guide you. And don't seek any knowledge from them. The third one, ولا تقولن لشيء إني فاعل ذلك غدا إلا أن يشاء الله. Do not say and never say of anything, indeed I will do that tomorrow, except when adding, if Allah wills. So you're not allowed, you don't say I will do this tomorrow without saying inshallah. Inshallah is something to be said about the future, not the past. Because if Allah wills, you cannot say, inshallah, my name is Walid. Khalas, my name is Walid, long time ago. It makes no sense. You say inshallah about something in the future. It's inshallah, it's Friday. It's already Friday, unless you live in I don't know, everybody's Friday khalas. But it's already done. So you can't say that. And a lot of people do it, but they don't pay attention to it. But the point is, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us this, what's the point? The point is that you connect your heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every matter of your life. No matter how sure you are, no matter how confident you are, no matter how many precautions you took, you still say, inshallah. You know, the story of Juha is a character. He was going to the market, have his donkey with him, tying the holding the rope, and went in his way. His friend saw him. Where are you going? He said, I'm going to sell my donkey. I'm going to sell him and make some money today. They said, say inshallah. He said, why? The market there. Everybody needs a donkey. And I have it, you know, in my hand. He went and he got distracted by somebody selling something there. He was planning to sell his donkey, get that new thing that he saw. Somebody came and untied the donkey, put it on a tree, and instead hang it on a tree, in a branch of tree, and took the donkey. So he came back after he found it. He looked for his donkey everywhere. He couldn't find it. Has the robe around his neck and so sad. His head's down, as we say, his tail's between his legs. And his friends told him, hey, what happened to him? Did you sell it? He said, no. He said, what happened? You said you're going to sell it. He said, yeah, it was stolen, inshallah. Inshallah. Now he's saying, inshallah, it doesn't work. You know, it's about the future. So the point is, no matter how confident you are about what you think you have, you should always learn to say, inshallah. That's the way, subhanAllah, of the Anbiya. قَاسَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ صَابِرًا وَلَا أَعْصِي لَكَ أَمْرًا. That's Musa alayhi salam. Ismail, قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. That's Yusuf alayhi salam. أُدْخُلُ مِصْرَ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ. You know, لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ الْآيَةِ. So here you see many verses of the Quran telling us that this is how the prophets, the messengers, this is the etiquette that we should be aware of, and we cannot use to it. One of the benefits of this, of saying inshallah, it will prevent you from any form of lying, because let's say I'm going to do this inshallah and you didn't do it, whatever happened that distracted you or prevented you from it, it's became not a lie, because you all said inshallah. That's why when you make an oath, wallahi I will do this inshallah, and you didn't do it, you don't need to pay penalty, because you have added inshallah to it. Another, the fourth one, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to all of us, talking about the importance of being surrounding yourself with a good company. And good company starts with your spouse, to your children, to your family, to your community, to the friends, and the circle goes bigger and bigger. Even outside, like, stick with people who are good. Be around, surround yourself with people who are good people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and let not your eyes pass beyond them, desiring the adornments of the worldly life. That's a very good advice for all of us, is to not only be with the good people, but we don't look to other than them. We don't desire, even that desire in the heart should not be there. We should fight it. Wallahi, sometimes I know it is hard. Somebody tell me, Shaykh, wallahi, it's hard to deal with some of the brothers. You know what? But they are your brothers. Don't let the shaitan drag you by looking far, because you don't know where you end. And we always, this tihtaj sabr, wasbir, Allah yaqul. There is patience, there is struggle. You know? And also, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with a good family, good children, don't just look outside. Focus, because when you look far away, you never appreciate what you have next to you. Also, this verse saying, don't be seeking the adornment of this dunya. Don't make it the goal. The goal is not the luxury of this life. The goal is to survive this life, is to make sure that you go to Jannah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى. The fifth, don't. And do not obey one whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, and who follows his desire. That's one of the dangerous thing you do in your life. You follow those who follow their desires. And what a many of them we have. A lot of people follow, especially online, especially, you know, on live, taking role models who are just people following their desires. They have no rule of halal and haram. They don't follow what is right and what's wrong. They follow what is their heart, you know, telling them. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Those who have taken their desires as their God. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. يعني متفرد. ضائع. Those people who Allah described who follow their desires, they are all over the place. They cannot concentrate. SubhanAllah, I noticed this very clear. Those who follow their desires cannot build anything, cannot accomplish anything. Those who have no, you know, such, you know, ability to control themselves, have a self-discipline, because following desires is a sign of no self-discipline. Cannot accomplish much in life. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yahmiyana wa iyyakum min al-hawa fa innahu ya'mi wa yusun sallallahu wasallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Qulu ma sami'tum. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. The sixth one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the story of Al-Khadr and Musa, he said, فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. He said to Musa, Al-Khadr, do not ask me about anything until I make to you, or I will give you information about it first. You know, sometimes we rush to ask too many questions. But if we became patient a little bit, we rush to judge, rush to question people. What you need to do, just hold on, wait, and things will be clear. Especially when you deal with people of knowledge, with people of, you know, expertise, with leaders. You know, just wait until things clear up. You don't need to judge people quickly and make these accusations in the form of questions. And here, this verse cannot be used by some, as some people used it, to say, you with the leaders or the shuyukh or the whatever kind of leadership you have, it means that you have no opinion, you have no objections, you have no way to say, to ask questions. That's not the point from the verse. لا تكن مع شيخك كالميت مع المغسل. That's not the point. The point is, just don't be disrespectful, just don't be hasty. That's the point of the verse. Also, there is another point we need to learn. ليس كل العلم يطلب بالسؤال. يعني بعض الناس يظن أن كل أن الطريقة الوحيدة لطلب العلم هي السؤال. هذا ليس صحيح. السؤال وسيلة واحدة. لكن هناك وسائل أخرى قد يكون عن طريق غير السؤال والجواب. وهو أن المعلم أو الشيخ يقرر المسألة بدون ما تسأل أنت. Sometimes we think that the only way to learn, to acquire knowledge, is by asking questions. Sometimes what you need to do to be quiet, just listen. It's not always about the asking questions. Number seven, لا تؤاخذني بما نسيت. يا سلام. Do not blame me for what I forgot. How we need to learn how to forgive one another, how to have excuses for one another. If you have not begun to be held accountable for what you forgot in front of Allah, what about you? Think about all those excuses for your brothers before you jump the gun. ثامنة, number eight, ولا ترهقني من أمري عسرا. And do not cover me in my matters with difficulty. In another word, do not overburden me. And that's very true. There is people, man, when you deal with them, they overburden you. It became such a heavy thing to deal with them. Like every time, you know, it became like a struggle just to spend some time with them. Don't have this kind of quality. Don't be so heavy. You know, be someone who is, you know, when you are with someone, you're not a burden on the person. As a matter of fact, you're the opposite. Don't ask people too much. Don't put too much kalafa on the others. That's not a good quality. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, teaching us through that story not to be like that. Number nine, فَلَا تُصَاحِبْنِي. Don't be my friend. Don't be in my company. You know what? That's a great lesson. Sometimes you need to move on. Sometimes you just say, Assalamu alaikum. You this way and I'm that way. Sometimes you have to make that decision in your life. And it became so hard to make that decision if you have to make it with someone who's near to you, close to you. I want to tell some people who have made the decision and maybe they left their spouses. And it was the right decision. Don't regret it. Maybe that you did it based on right decision. You know what? Move on in your life. I want to say to many people that they have broken a partnership in business. You know what? Don't regret it. If that was the right decision, move on. Maybe you have broken a friendship with someone. You know what? Don't overburden them. Because sometimes that's the right course of action. I need to move on. I need to leave this person behind me and I keep going. If life moves on, we need to learn how to move on too. You know, you will evolve past certain people. So let yourself grow and pass those people and grow. And that's a very important lesson for us to learn. Sometimes we keep hanging onto some people that they keep dragging us down, pulling us down. You know what? Just let it go. I'm not encouraging to cut ties with people. No, but I'm encouraging that you take full responsibility of your life and your surrounding. فَلَا تُصَاحِبْنِي. And with respect, you have excused. Maybe you're just not the best match. You're not just, it doesn't work. Don't make a fight. Don't like ruin his life, he ruin your life. Just move on. These are something that I do believe, like, whenever we reflect in the Quran, you will see how much the Quran can relate to our daily life and our life. It can be a guidance for us in so many areas in our life. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أن يجملنا بجميل الأخلاق, that He always beautify us with the best of manners and bless us and forgive our sins. Allah forgive all our sins, forgive our sins and forgive the sins of our parents, our family members, our brothers and sisters, the living and the dead, and we ask you to protect us and to protect our family and our wealth and our health and our loved one and from all kind of evil in this dunya and in the akhirah. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdi bina wa afina wa afu anna wa arhamna واغفر لنا واستر عيوبنا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أكرم نزلنا يا حي يا قيوم أكرم نزلنا يا حي يا قيوم اللهم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واعف عنا وأكرمنا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى نسألك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أن تغفر لوالدينا أحياء وأمواتا اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم وعافهم واعف عنهم واشفهم وعافهم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم اشف كل مريض اللهم اشف كل مريض اللهم عاف كل مبتلى اللهم عاف كل مبتلى ربنا لا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إننا تبنا إليك فاقبلنا يا حي يا قيوم وصل اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم اللهم تسليما كثيرا. Have our class about excellence and faults and flaws of manners. Thankful knowledge with Sheikh Kamal 6:30 on Saturday, and Sister Rana Mamluk on Zoom 2 p.m. on Sunday. Journey with the Quran, and Clear Islamic Center has been designated by Harris County, so inshallah, from as a polling for voting center, early voting center, for 13th of October. From 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. inshallah ta'ala. So expecting in October 13 to see guests. We organized in a way that they will be in the community hall in this area. And I hope that will be a good reason for all of us to vote this election cycle. Register to vote. Registration to vote end Monday, October 5th. Jazakumullah khair. Qumu lis-salati yarhamni yarhamkumullah.